Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Hannah McIntyre. Season 2, episode 27, and continuing with the listener questions because I can't stop talking. So let's hit straight in with it here. Next up, I'm going to go to Sammy's question from Facebook. And she wants to know, why do we have to experience the pain, trauma, etc.? I know it's to help our soul grow, but why can't we be fully developed and not need that as spirit come from a place of love? I hope that makes sense. Also, what happens to our many incarnations and when we've developed to our full potential? Oh, Sammy, I wish I had all the answers to this one. It's a fascinating one, and one that there isn't an awful lot of clarity on. Lots of mediums have different opinions on this, different ideas. So, where do I start with this? Pain, trauma, etc. I think there is certain things that we need to go through for our soul's growth. And certain things that we as humans, when we are disconnected from our soul and our spiritual source, choose to do because we don't know better, or perhaps in a way to guide us back to source. So my understanding is, as I'm sure you've heard me say, that we are all part of the oneness. We all contain a droplet of God, or however you want to phrase it. We are all spirit. But of course, the humanness takes that away from us, doesn't it? And it's funny to think about being incarnated in this current time, I think, where we've got so much, but we all talk like we've got so little. Now, you will have heard me talk about past lives and how I personally don't believe that past lives are in the past, because time is a human construct. So we are experiencing all of this stuff simultaneously. I also think on some of the big choices that we make in our lives are soul splits, but not splits in a way that it becomes dissolved, because there is infinite power, but we get to experience both realities. Our soul gets to experience both realities through a choice. For example, if you decide to cut away from your family, or you decide to keep your family in your life, you will live two lives, possibly more, where you experience the outcome of that choice. Your soul has all of that. And I do think it's to do with learning. Abraham Hicks will tell you that we are here for the pure joy of conscious creation, that as souls, we come here to create in a physical space our lives. And I love the idea of that. And I do think there is an element of that, absolutely, that we learn through what they would call the contrast, what I would call the shitstorms. We learn through the shitstorms, the ones we create and the ones that we attract, and the behaviours that we allow and the boundaries that we don't put in with people, etc., etc., etc. We learn to rise through that, and we learn who we are. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? I know that I wouldn't be the medium that I am today, but more importantly, the person that I am today, if I hadn't made shitloads of stupid decisions, and if I didn't have to live with the regret of some of those that I still have, if I hadn't sought out validation from other people for years and realised that the validation I was seeking had to come from within me. So I don't really know, because the soul is perfect. In my understanding, the soul is perfect. When people talk about souls needing healing, I don't think we do. I think we shift off everything that's unhealed and go back to a state of perfection. But I also think it is to do with experiencing it. experiencing something in this physical place. And I guess I do agree with Abraham Hicks, the contrast of it, but also this is not something that I would say to somebody who's just lost someone they love, but there is a real beauty in pain, isn't there? I don't know if I can find the words. It's easy for me to say from my place of comfort with food in my tummy and a bloody lovely house and two healthy children. It's easy to say that, isn't it? Because the pain that I've experienced, I know we don't compare, but isn't comparable to what some people have been through. So in a word, Sammy, I don't know. There's so many different opinions on this and ideas on this, but I know that spirit comes from love, absolute, complete love. I know that we have all chosen to come here for the good and the bad. I know that you can completely change your life by your attitude, your brain, your decisions, your emotions, by being true to yourself and how you feel. And I can tell you that for sure because I've done it. I'm completely different from the utterly miserable, disenchanted person I was in my late teens, where I couldn't see the point in any of it. So now I can see the point, and the point is that it's glorious and it's beautiful and it's lovely, but that's easy for me to say from where I am right now. So I think we have to learn the hard things so that we rise. And I would like to think that we come here to experience our full potential and the joy of it and the love of it. And we need those bad experiences and those things to help us rise, to help us be true, to help us recognize when we didn't listen to ourselves and we let people take advantage. And what happens to our many incarnations when we're fully developed to our full potential? Well, interesting, isn't it? Buddha would say you enter nirvana, I think. I think we already are at it. And that's the confusing thing, because there is no time. I've got my head in my hands here. Because there is no time, then in the spirit world, you are already everything and every possibility of every potential that you ever could be. So you surely are already in that place of fully developed potential. And of course, your spirit hasn't fully left that place of fully developed potential, because we don't come back as one item. We come back as part of it. Like Emily was saying when I interviewed her, the segments of an orange, part of a whole. I think we've chosen this, and that's the only thing I can tell you, and I can't tell you for definite why, but that's what I feel has happened. We've chosen it for the good, the bad, the indifferent, the boring, the exciting, and everything in between. But I don't remember what it's like to be in the spirit world. And of course, I have my own filters and expectations. So it's hard to receive information like this from spirit, especially, I think, if you're in a difficult place. But that's the best example I can give you right now. And I might discuss this with the mediumship Natter girls and see what they come up with, because they might have the answers that I don't. So there's that. Sorry, but I tried. So next up is Melanie, who's got a question about our vibration. I've been curious about raising our vibration. A little backstory. I'm a single mum and I often find my energy drained because they're fighting with each other or I'm not handling the whole parenting thing as best I can. There are things I've put the work in on and improved greatly, such as yelling. I have to improve upon, but I strive to become a better parent each day. So oftentimes when I feel inclined or pulled to meditate, pull an oracle card, explore myself spiritually, etc., etc., I feel a block, almost like I'm not worthy. Because, for example, 10 minutes prior, I was in a bad mood as a result of the situation with the kids. Does it matter though? Should I still meditate, explore my spirituality, etc.? I'm in a place in my life right now where I'm really, or at least trying, to lean into my spiritual path and what that may look like. I don't know who my spirit guides are, I've never connected with loved ones on the other side, but I've had some profound messages come through or conversations that were validated in the moment where I know I was speaking with God directly, or he was speaking to me directly, providing me with answers I really needed at that time. Currently, I feel so strongly drawn to look within and the possibility of the start to a wonderful spiritual awakening. I just feel my earthly emotions, especially around the struggles of being a parent and a single parent, put a block in raising my vibrations, such as I'm not worthy in moving forward because I'm experiencing these low vibrational feelings. I usually tell myself, okay, we'll have a better day tomorrow, and then you can meditate and be in a better headspace to be worthy of connecting, receiving a message, or moving in your spiritual journey. Have I got this wrong? Do I just power through? Okay, so Melanie, before you even said it in your first paragraph, your problem here is worthiness. Absolutely and completely and utterly, it's feeling like you're not worthy. And I hope when I read that back to you, you could hear the judgment that you are putting on yourself. Just as an FYI, all parents yell at their kids. Well, I certainly did. Jeez. Not all the time, not in every conversation, not in every moment, but I did. I told them what I expected and what I didn't expect. And I'm sure there are people that wouldn't agree with the way I parented, but they've turned out bloody lovely in spite of it. So you're a single mum. You have got a lot more on your plate. Okay, and that is harder, but it doesn't mean that you're doing a bad job. Give yourself a break. One of the best things that I found on the internet when my kids were little was Hurrah for Gin. I don't know if she's still going, but she used to do little stick figures just about how bloody difficult it was. And you're trying to be grateful all the time because you love them so much and you know you're lucky to have them, but oh my God, they're hard work. And I think you need to find something like that and realise that you're not doing that badly and that you're just judging yourself. So that's that bit out of the way. Absolutely, spirit are there for you, regardless of your mood, regardless of whether you've been shouting at the kids, regardless of whether you're stressed or whatever's going on. So yeah, absolutely still try and connect. Absolutely try and meditate, you know. It'll be harder to meditate. Wouldn't it be lovely if we could all just come at spirit and always be in an optimum state? But we don't. I remember starting a course with a load of beginners and you know, the opening speech that spirit gave when they arrived was not, "Welcome into the bosom of the spirit world. We love you." It was, in fact, "This is going to be difficult. There's going to be days where you don't feel like you're in the right space, where you don't feel good enough, where we haven't made it easy, where you've got in from work late and you've had a flat tire and your dinner needs cooking still, but we expect you to still turn up if you really want this." And that's such an important and valuable lesson to understand, is they're always there, absolutely. And you have to learn to sort of fight through all the stuff that's going on in your life to be able to hold that connection. And it takes time to do that. It takes years of practice to be able to do that. But, you know, when I go to demonstrate in front of an audience, I'm absolutely bricking it. If my emotions got the better of me, then I wouldn't be able to do that. It doesn't mean that I'm not afraid. It means that I'm afraid, but I know I can do it anyway. And that's the difference. So you know you can do it. You know you've had these profound messages. And actually, I agree with you. Spirit guides are part of God, as we all are. So it doesn't really matter where you're getting the messages from. We just like to label and we feel spirit guides are more accessible. We can bother them. Couldn't possibly bother God. So that's great that you're getting that information. It's great that you're getting those messages. Just keep going with that. Keep working with that. But definitely, definitely look at your self-healing, your self-worth, and follow that journey for a bit. And Spirit will help you with that. Because you deserve to know that Spirit are there for you, and you deserve to know that you are good enough. Completely, utterly, wonderfully, perfectly good enough. Keep on going. I hope that makes sense. I'm just trying to read through your email to make sure I've just... I mean, you probably have listened to the podcast that I recorded just before this one because I split them into two. So you'll know that I've done some really earthly, crappy, less impressive things. I'd love to tell you that I've been on this wonderful spiritual journey since I arrived here, and I've always been a good girl, and I've never been spiteful or bitchy or judgmental. But actually, if I'm honest, I'm still bitchy and judgmental, because that's my human side. It's still there. I just perhaps don't say the things that I used to say. It's more of an internal dialogue. Okay, next question from Abigail Lark. Hi, Hannah. Thank you for your wonderful podcast. They have given me an oasis of peace as my brother has died recently. I'm so sorry to hear that, Abigail. I have an interesting question. It's about energy. Do you think the reason that we don't see ghosts of dinosaurs and other ancient beings is because their earthly energy imprint is so old, it just fades away after time? Yeah. No, I'm going to say more. Sorry, I make myself laugh. I do, actually. I think that... So, I don't think that we really see any imprints except for ghosts. And as you've probably heard me say, the interesting thing about ghosts is they're just an echo of an energy left behind. And it's a bit like, you know, where focus goes, energy flows. If you are walking down a corridor and it feels a bit spooky in a castle, it's almost like you're charging the battery of that hologram as you look for it. If you go on a ghost hunt and you're actively trying to seek ghosts, then you're charging the batteries of those holograms left behind. So that does make them more visible. And let's be honest, no one's been charging a battery of a dinosaur. I mean, but wouldn't that be cool? Dinosaur ghost hunters. I've got a pterodactyl here. Sorry, I've gone off on one. Anyway, it would be fun and bloody amazing. But of course, we don't really do it. So the energy isn't flowing to that. I also think animals have a more transient journey with spirit than we have. I think they reincarnate very quickly. I think they're at a higher vibration than we are. So they go, they come, they go, they come. The door's always open to us, but I think they just do it with more ease. I don't know why I think that, but that's what I think. So they're, of course, less likely to leave an imprint. So, maybe this is the calling for you, Abigail, to set up a dinosaur and extraterrestrial ghost hunting group, because I'm sure we must have had some ETs die on Earth too. But then we're all of the one, aren't we? So even if they are an extraterrestrial, I'm just thinking this through, they still go to the same place we go to, because there is no separation, because time and space don't really exist. And so, yeah, I think it is just a case of we are seeking. I mean, it's one of the interesting things with spirit guides. When we want to connect to spirit guides, most people expect to see a human being because that's what we expect. But they're only taking that form and that shape because it's what our brain needs us to do to make them accessible. So if you think of a spirit guide and you're open to it, you're probably just going to get a light or a feeling. Sometimes you might get an animal. Sometimes you might get an alien. But people are less accepting of those. And so, generally speaking, everyone's trying to receive again through that filter, through those valves. So that's my take on it. But I love that question, and that is a question I've never been asked before. And it has sent me down a little bit of a rabbit hole of just imagining ghost hunts looking for T-Rexes. It's really big and really angry. Yeah, okay. Jurassic Park's one of my favourite books, so I'm rather into dinosaurs in a very lacking of knowledge, surface level kind of way. They're cool, it's fun. I can't believe they were really here. Blows my mind that they were really here. Anyway. my next question is from Jacqueline Shields. And Jacqueline says, "Hey, Hannah, I was talking to a very wonderful spiritual friend of mine. Your podcast came highly recommended. Yay. I've only just started listening to them and boy, they are amazing and really resonate with me. I can't get enough of them. Yay. Anyway, I have a question with regards to mediumship. I'm a bit worried, apprehensive about which spirits come through. See, I was sexually abused as a child. How can you stop a particular spirit being channeled, either by myself or particularly through a private reading or mediumship live show? And what would I do if it happened? How does it all work? I just don't want any contact whatsoever." Okay, now this is something that has come up for me before. Now, when we work as a medium, my view personally is that we are working for the spirit world. And when we say for the spirit world, that means people in spirit, as well as the spirit of the sitter in front of you. And you have a duty of care to both. Now, on some occasions, I have had spirits through that people have been reluctant to hear from for various reasons, some the same as yours, some other reasons. And in those moments, my work as I view it is to make the connection, offer it to the sitter, and the sitter has a choice. And if the sitter says, "No, thank you, I do not want to hear from that person," we say, "Okay." And I say to them, "They're not ready to hear from you." They'll have heard it anyway. And they step back and we work with somebody else. So you always, always have free will and choice. But as a medium, I also think it's important to offer a space for the spirit world to say what they need to say. And so I never, ever, ever send spirits away initially, straight away, if that makes sense. I have to be their voice. So for your case, if he came through and I would work with him for a bit and you would say, "I know who this is, I don't want to hear from them," then I would disconnect it and I would say, because his soul may have something that he needs to say to you for his soul's healing or for your healing. But equally, if you're not ready to receive that, even if you're never ready to receive that, I completely respect that and I wouldn't force you to have that message. So it's just a bit of a balancing act. It's the same on demonstrations. And it's the same with big emotional messages on demonstrations as well. Sometimes you just have to accept that people are just too cut up to even answer you. Sometimes people don't put their hands up in a demonstration, and then they will come up to me at the end and say, "That was so and so and so and so, but I didn't want to talk to them, I didn't want to hear them." And that's why when you're working in a demonstration, you have to be, you can't make it about you. Even though you've got a room full of people looking at you and you're giving evidence and everyone's just looking at you and no one's taking it, that is your job. I did a demonstration the other night and two spirits weren't taken, and one was taken straight afterwards and one was taken via messenger later. And that's the job, unfortunately. It would be wonderful if every demonstration everybody was taken and everyone knew that I was good, but I just have to be comfortable with where I'm at. So it's unlikely for your first experience that they would come through, because I always think the spirit world understand where you're at and what you need. But of course, I can't promise that, because we open up to the will and the trust of the spirit world. You could see different mediums work different ways. So some mediums will let you say who you want to hear from. And, you know, if you were booking a one-on-one with me, you could say to me, rather than saying, "I don't want to hear from that person," you could say to me, "Hannah, I would really like to hear from this person today and this person today." And we would try, but there would be no guarantee. So some mediums work like that all the time, like you hand over an item and they work for who you want to hear from. And some mediums work, generally speaking, what I do is I trust in the will of the spirit world and the intelligence of the spirit world, that they would only bring that person through if it had a good reason for you and them. It was of value to you and them. So they generally are very respectful of all things like that. I hope that makes sense. I think that's all my questions for now. So again, if you have any questions, anything you want to know about, anything that I haven't covered properly, please do send me an email at podcast@hannahmedium.co.uk. And I will answer you on here eventually. So have a lovely day, and thanks for listening.